Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with many spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. The message is based upon the word of God as we find it recorded in the second letter of Paul to Timothy, where in chapter 2, in the first 5 verses, we read as follows. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. In the name of Christ, my dear Christian friends, the text which you just heard is apart from the last letter which the Apostle St. Paul wrote. It is one of the 5 epistles which he wrote while he was a prisoner. In his first Roman imprisonment, Paul had lived in a private house attached to a soldier, but now he was a prisoner for the second time, and the situation had completely reversed. He probably was located in the dark, damp, and fetid Tullianum, a prison which was known as a sepulcher, because many prisoners were eaten by rats. The second Roman imprisonment of Paul was somewhat precipitate, because we see from this very personal letter that he had not even time to bring with him a cloak, which he desperately needed to keep warm, as well as his books, which he is requesting Timothy by all means to come to Rome and bring to him. When you read this second letter of Paul to his favorite son, you get a feeling of uneasiness that Paul is afraid that possibly Timothy is beginning to weaken. And so you will find throughout the letter that he is constantly encouraging him. For instance, he says in the very first letter, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Furthermore, Timothy seems to have been a person who was naturally timid, and with this new political situation in the Roman Empire, when it was really dangerous to be a Christian, because in the year 64, Nero had burnt Rome down, and the great reaction to this forced Nero to blame the Christians, who then were persecuted, and it was very dangerous to be known as a Christian. And with the great teacher and the great apostle in prison, and with the dark clouds upon the horizon, it is not difficult to understand why Timothy might be greatly afraid. In fact, Paul encourages Timothy in the first chapter to rekindle the flame. I'll read to you the 6th verse. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The picture you get from the Greek is that the flame was beginning to get very weak and was on the verge of dying out, and so Paul says, rekindle this particular flame. He also calls upon him to remember the example of Onesiphorus, who is mentioned toward the end of the first chapter, who at great danger had sought him out in Rome while other people in the province of Asia were deserting the Apostle Paul. So you will find, as you look at these four chapters of 2 Timothy, that scattered throughout them are exhortations to his son, his spiritual son. Paul, as you know, was not married, and he always looked upon Timothy as his son because he had been instrumental by the grace of God of converting him and then also preparing him for the ministry. We might say that Paul was his theological mentor, his theological professor, and so he loves him. And in these last words from the apostle of the from the pen of the apostle Paul, I think we can learn a great deal. And the reason I chose this text is because I'm sure, as you are aware, 1 week from today there will be a call service, and then on the following evening there will be a call service for the candidates. And so close your eyes for a moment and imagine that the Apostle Paul is living today, and he is living today through his written word, inspired by God, and that the message that is contained in the opening part of verse of chapter 2 is directed to you vicars, and especially to you candidates. And so I say to you, on the basis of Paul's exhortation, transmit the truth and endure hardship for its sake. There are, first of all, three things that we should bear in mind. Paul says to you, as he did to Timothy, and to any one of us who is in the Lord's work, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. No one can be a true pastor who is not, first of all, a Christian, who has not been saved by grace. And this relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and the pastor has to be constantly nourished. And so we might say that this grace, the word is charis in Greek, which is, means a gift of God, is to be both the source as well as the comfort of the Christian pastor as he carries out his God-given ministry. The next exhortation of the apostle to you, as well as to Timothy, was, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy probably only had one theological professor. You've had probably over 30, if you think of all the men who constitute our present faculty. But you have been here not merely to learn the Christian doctrine. You're not here merely to enjoy it, but you are here, you have come here to share this wonderful gospel with other people. We might say, here we have the true doctrine of the apostolic succession, because the word of God, which was entrusted by the apostles to their followers, from generation to generation, if people have been faithful to the scriptures and to its teaching, has been handed down. And so your theological professors on this faculty who have received the wonderful treasure of God's word from their teachers and from their pastors and from their mentors have now passed it on to you. And it will become your privilege and your duty to transmit this wonderful teaching to others. And we believe that the fundamental doctrines, and I'm sure Timothy had been taught the great historic facts of the Christian religion, namely the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for which I think Timothy also could have spoken to people who were living at his time, who could personally say that they have seen these great things happening and these great doctrines, that they are true. And so it will be your duty, whether you're a vicar or you're a candidate, to faithfully to teach this word. Now, you ought to make it a practice, and this is a suggestion of mine, to read through the pastoral epistles frequently, because you will notice in the 13 chapters of the three pastorals that there is a great emphasis upon sound and healthy doctrine. It is only good doctrine, correct doctrine, true doctrine, the Word of God in its purity, that's going to build faith and which is also going to be able to nourish faith. And so that will certainly be your great task, to share these wonderful, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the great fundamental doctrines with others. And remember, if you do not teach it correctly, then you may be responsible for sending people to hell. If you don't direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for their sins and who is their only hope and their only salvation, then you may be one of those who cause the little ones to stumble, and it would better, says Christ, that you were dumped into the midst of the ocean with a big rock around your neck. And so may God grant that you will transmit this doctrine faithfully. Now, it's a wonderful thing to be a pastor, but you will also find it involves some hardship. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. Being a pastor is not exactly living on a bed of roses. While it is a great and wonderful profession which gives great satisfactions, yet you will meet opposition because we have the devil, the world, and our flesh whom we have to fight against. And the word of the living God, the true word, has many opponents. And so in order to carry out your ministry, you will have to endure hardness as a good soldier. You will have to conduct yourself in such a manner that Jesus and his religion and the advancement of his cause will have the priority in your life and will take precedence for everything else in your life. Those are, my good friends, a few of the suggestions that Paul has, and there are many more. And in concluding, I would simply quote to you from the fourth chapter, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away the ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." God grant that you will not be guilty of any of these. You will preach the word unhesitatingly, fearlessly, and I'm sure that God will bless you. And when you die, he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen.